So here we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's a voice who will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. We were a little giddy before the show started. We're both laughing that, you know, it feels like it's 4 o'clock in the morning since it's dark, you know, so
oh,
early.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, whoops. You know, so this is a hard time of year because it just gets dark so early. I mean, that's what I don't like about the winters more than anything. I don't mind the cold. I just don't like the dark so early.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Like I was telling you before the show started that I got home a little bit early today because, you know, I've been having a very, very busy week. You know, I had a cousin pass away earlier this week, and then my mom had doctor's appointments. My brother's on vacation, so he couldn't help out with anything. So I've been just running myself crazy all week. And, you know, this afternoon my mother had a 4-hour doctor appointment. So by the time I got out and I was actually able to get to the office, my office was like, you know what, just go home and work from home and be comfortable. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I got home, you know, like at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I did some work and this and that. I sat on the couch around 4:30 and I must have dozed off, and it felt like I was sleeping for an hour, and I woke up and it was pitch black in the apartment. I'm like, holy shit, what time is it? Did I miss the show? And then it was like, oh yeah, that there was a 25-minute nap, a 30-minute nap. So didn't miss anything, but it seemed like I was in another world.
I know. It's a little strange that way. Well, remember, we don't have any show next week because it is Thanksgiving. And so,
oh yeah.
Yeah, so I just want to remind you of that. We have 2 dates in December. Also, we have, but I'm not gonna, because Christmas is like, you know, sort of on the Thursday, I think. And let me just look at the calendar. I don't want to say them too early for you because I tend to make you all, you know, then you screw up the dates. But we have it on the 5th and the 12th. The 5th is our next show. The 19th we don't have because it's TJ's birthday and we have plans. And then
okay.
The 26th we don't have because that's when I celebrate Christmas with my daughter. So
okay.
Those 2 dates, the 19th and the 26th, were off. So in December.
All right, so we're good for the 5th and the 12th, and then we're done for December after the 12th.
Right, and
okay.
You know, it's one of those things. It's just funny how funky how things land when they land, you know. But we will be back, you know, also on January 2nd, we will have 2, so we'll be back. It's just funny that, you know, TJ's birthday seems to fall in the worst month because it's already enough activities, you know, here.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, okay,
I'm on December
cheated
as well, so.
Oh, yeah, he always feels cheated because nobody ever gave his birthday because it was always so close to the holiday. So we don't cheat out people who have December birthdays.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
I give everybody a disclosure. Everybody gets a disclosure. Like, my birthday and Christmas are separate. So, they are separate, so everybody best be understanding that there needs to be at least 2 boxes, one of them for Christmas and one of them for my birthday.
No, that's TJ too, so you know, I want to make sure that he knows that, and you know that we have, I take offers with the first year I knew him. You know, in my world, I never took off for my birthday or Shauna's birthday or my ex-husband's birthday. We just worked, whatever. It was like we celebrated, but it didn't necessarily be on that day. Like, it's a work day. So I made the mistake of, like, the first year I knew him booking a psychic party on his birthday. And oh my God, he was so upset. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that birthdays matter. Okay. So I've since never done that again, you know.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, like with me, I don't care about the day of, so I'm not that bad. Like the day of, I can kind of whatever. But like the weekend before, the weekend after, there best be plans.
Right, exactly. That's what I thought. That's how I thought it would work. You know, whatever it is, the day, you know. But I realized that's not his world. So, you know, we try to like accommodate people, you know, when they,
yep.
You know, I'm more like, I really don't care about my birthdays. It's never been a big deal to me. So, but I have to remember, so other people, it is a big deal. So, you know,
yep.
We have to like, what's important to our soulmates, we have to find to make it important too. So we do talk about that here all the time. You know, if something's important to them, it is important. So we do have a lot of listeners tonight. I could see them already, but can you just remind them what to do if they want to talk to us? Because especially if they're brand new listeners, they might not know.
Yeah, absolutely. If you would like to speak to myself or Cindy, please press the number 1 so that I get a lovely little cue that you wish to be picked up. And then we can screen you and get you on the air tonight. So please press the number 1. And a couple of people just did that as I said it, which is very good.
And it's funny because I think Jean Steele has pressed 1, and she never presses 1. So we're going to go right to her tonight, and
all
then
right.
You can start screening the other ones. Because if Jean wants to talk to us, it must be important because she listens every week and doesn't press 1 very often. So
yeah, Jean is actually, she doesn't really,
press 1 very, very often, so... Let's go see what Jean has to say. Although I will say that Jean I don't know how if her hands have fallen off yet, because she showed me some of her most recent work, and it's absolutely gorgeous. So give little Jean
her
there.
I use every night because I watch 1 hour of television,
my God.
11 or 12. You know, we go to like whatever shows we haven't seen. We watch one of them, and I'm all cuddled up in that beautiful.
Oh, I love that blanket. That's like my favorite blanket.
Yep, and I'm all warm and cozy.
And every time I use that blanket, or if I have like a guest and the guest uses that blanket, I explain to them the story of Jean and how. You know, I made the comment and how she, you know, she crocheted me one or whatever. And then I met up with her and everything else or whatever. I mean, and you know, I show them the hearts in it because, you know, that the hearts don't necessarily pop out because, you know, it's a darker blanket or whatever. So usually it's kind of crunched up, but I always spread it out. And I'm like, oh, and look, and she's got hearts over here. And like, yeah. So I always tell everybody the story of Jean every time I pull that that blanket out or when it's on my bed. But she's a very, very talented lady. And,
so she's
she
with us all cozy
people.
All the time, right? That's what we're trying to tell.
Oh, yeah.
She's always cozy with us.
Yep.
Very
absolutely.
Cozy.
So, all right, Cindy. So I'm going to go and I'm going to put Jean on the air, and then I'm going to jump into the chat room and get our next caller all up and good.
Okay.
Hello, Jean. You're on the air.
Hi. In regards to you. In regards to your December birthdays, my daughter is December 23rd, and when she was 3,
that's terrible.
She says, I get all my presents in 3 days. I don't like it. So what you do is you do a half birthday. On your real birthday, you get presents from your aunts and uncles and grandparents. On your half birthday, you get a large present from mommy and daddy, an entertainment choice of the day.
Wow.
That's for 25 years.
No.
And my kids just asked recently, could they go back to it? On Christmas, luckily, my brother had a split level. We'd go downstairs and do Michelle's birthday, cake and all. And then go upstairs and do Christmas. They were never together.
Wow. Good. Now, see, that makes sense because otherwise they do get a little gypped. You know what I mean?
Right. So what we do is, and I did it last year. I gave them back their half birthdays.
Aw.
And I
so
made
sweet.
Them, and I made them half a cake on their birthdays. I'll have to find the pictures. They had half a cake. They had everything. That was the day, because by the summer, and then Bobby's Thanksgiving. So by May and June, you needed a bicycle, you needed roller skates, you needed, you know, rollerblades, you needed something that you couldn't use in the winter anyway.
Well, of course. Well, see, that makes a lot of sense, because otherwise it does. People, December birthdays tend to feel a little gypped. So, you know, anybody who's got a December birthday, ask people to come up with the half birthday. That makes that's really nice.
When the kids are little, they'll appreciate it so much. And like I said, at 30, they still appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it was so nice to see you at Jackie Doherty's event, by the way. You know, I love those events because I get to see people, my clients, and it's always like a little fun to see you people in person. You know,
yeah,
not just
me, Andrew, Jackie, and I was like, don't read me. It's okay. I'm fine.
Uh-huh. And by the way, I thought maybe because when I saw your number and you were pressing, your friend, the male friend that died not too long ago.
Yeah, Sean.
Yep, his name is Sean?
Yeah.
Well, he just sort of popped in to say hello to you.
Oh, that's nice.
So, you know, he seems very peaceful, and I'm glad to hear that, okay, because he's recently dead, and sometimes they're not always so peaceful.
He had a bone marrow transplant. He had a lot of things, so he had a long time to make peace with himself.
Wow.
And drag it out. It was 3 years, and he, you know, it was a 3-year battle. He had a long time. His wife is having a hard time. I talk to her often, but you know, I knew that he was gonna have a hard time.
And he feels of course very bad for her, but he's actually very funny. He must have been a funny guy because he has a funny sense of humor.
Yes.
He said, I scoped out the joint. It's really good up here. If you've been good, it's good. Okay. And he goes, and Jean has been very, very good. So it'll be very, very good for her.
He's been good.
And you know, he started to cry a little bit because, of course, he does miss everybody. But,
yeah.
You know, just it's interesting because as soon as you pressed your number one here,
right,
he kind of like jumped through. So I said, oh, maybe she wants to talk to you. And he started laughing. No, he knew what you had to say, but he also wanted to say thank you for everything.
Yeah.
You know,
he's a good guy.
And he says you were a very good friend to have.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm glad you like pressed that one and gave us that half birthday, and I'm going to maybe do that this year. I'm going to put, you know what?
You
I have
should.
My electronic calendar right in front of me, and I'm going to go right to July 19th, 2020, and I'm going to put, make this TJ's half birthday, okay? Because if
about,
I don't write it down
June,
now.
How about June 19th is half, not July?
Oh, June is half, okay? June 19th. Okay, that's good. Okay. All right.
So you make him half a cake, and you do something, and you say, you know, or you tell him on his real birthday, I have a surprise for you in the summer, and just leave it like that. And then the summer comes, you just, you know.
Very good. And you know what? That day is Juneteenth Day, whatever that means.
Yeah.
You know, TJ's half birthday. Okay, so.
My kids, like I said, Michelle asked for it last year. Can I have it back?
Okay, so now that I've marked it in that calendar, I won't forget it. I have to mark it in when I think about it.
All right. Well, have a good night. I'll listen to the rest of you. I just wanted
okay,
to tell you
Okay, we
that.
Love you, Jean. Bye.
All right, bye.
Okay, so we have someone already queued up. Maybe Nicole can let
yes,
me know.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
Of course. We have Sharon next. And Sharon actually just moved to New York from Nebraska. And, you know, now that she's settled in New York, things are very, very different. But she did leave things at home a little bit unsettled. So since we are rather more you than me, I'm just kind of like the sidekick there. But since we're so good at the relationship stuff, Sharon wants to know what you see as far as her relations.
Okay. Now, did she divorce or something that she moved so far away?
Well, we're going to let Sharon tell us that. Hello, Sharon. You are on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
And
Cindy,
thanks for letting us know you're a New York girl now, Sharon. You have two, best friends here in New York, Nicole and Cindy.
Oh, that would be great. That's great, because I really don't have any. I came here because my daughter lives here. And,
okay.
You know, I already lost my son and my parents, so it was just my daughter, and it's just too hard to come back and forth. So I moved out here so I could be close to my grandkids and her.
Okay, well, that makes sense. And I know this is a hard time of year for people because, you know, you miss your parents. You miss your son. I did get that he's resting in peace card a little bit now. Like, and I know you have some unsettled business about that, too. And he's just asking you to believe a little bit in karmic justice and that seeing, you know, I know you're still mourning him very heavily because the cards about him are very, very heavy mourning cards. And what he's saying now is he's not here on earth, but you have your grandkids and your daughter to love and focus a little bit on that. Are you still trying to take care of the mess in Nebraska with your son?
You know, I guess it's always going to be unsettled. The anniversary of his passing was just last week, so it's highlighted around me. There was nothing ever settled. It was a bad deal. He was murdered, and it was covered up. So there's an anger there inside of me.
Not just
the injustice. Yeah, I mean, it's bad enough just that it happened to him, you know, and then to have lies on top of that is just so much worse.
Well, would want you to call into us and to know us because I will tell you what your son knows on the other side and what I have learned from talking to the dead. If people don't pay for their crimes here on earth, it is hell on the other side. Okay,
right.
Like you're better off to go to jail here on this side.
Oh,
this is as good as it gets on this, you know, if you don't pay for your crimes, you're going to go over there and you're going to be in a realm where you will have no visitors, no one will come to see you. You have no privileges to come down on earth to visit the way your son can come visit you on earth, and I'll talk about that in a minute. You have to see what you could have, would have, should have done differently, better. It is really awful. Your son, on the other hand, is at peace because it's not on him, this karma, okay? He is surrounded by your dad and your mom. They adore him on the other side. Younger people are like the supreme loved people up there. They are very fun with their energy. They are, you know, just everybody comes to visit them. And he is allowed down on earth about 100 hours a month. And it's easier now for him to visit because all the people he loves, his sister, his nieces and nephews, and you are all in the same space. So know that he loves to come visit when you're there with the kids. And do you talk about him with everybody?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Pretty much.
Good.
Yeah, I make sure. I'm trying to tell my grandson a little bit about him. You know, he knows a little bit. But I show him pictures and things, you know, I talk about him more. Because I'm here.
Right.
But,
and keep
my
him alive.
Knows him. What, honey?
Keep him alive. Does your grandson appear to see him and, you know him?
My grandson's weird. My grandson, when he came to Earth, he knew everything. He knew everybody. he was getting messages straight from God and, you know, he sit in the corner by my son's picture and he just laughed. This is when he was a baby, you know. So I know he could see angels. He couldn't talk very well and he was trying to tell my mom, my daughter, Mommy, Ansel. And she thought he was trying to say Ansel, which is the name of his cousin.
Right.
And that wasn't what he was trying to say. He was trying to say angel. He kept pointing to the corner of the room. And then he started flapping his arms, and she realized he's saying angel. So he's very, very, very gifted, but he's older now, so, you know, he doesn't really talk about it, but when he was a baby, I tested him, and I would tell him to do things mentally, and he'd come running in doing them, and he'd do it and run back to his toys in the other room. And
he's very telepathic. That's how the dead communicate, is purely telepathic. And your son is assigned to watch over him very closely. And you guide and watch over him and keep him very, very, very safe. So, you know, you were the very good mom.
Hmm. I had very good kids. And everybody said, oh, you must be such a good mom. And I'd say, no, I'm not. I said, I'm not. My kids know that I love them. And they came first for me.
Right. And they know right from wrong, that's for sure.
Yeah.
They came knowing right from wrong. Your son gives you a lot of messages and signs. I hope you pay attention to them.
I do try to, You know, sometimes you question, oh, am I just trying to say that? Or now that I have my mom and my dad and my son, I'm trying to discern which ones are which.
It's sort of an inner knowing that you get, but also if you decide, say you decide the butterflies that come around are your son, that might have been your mom, but since you've decided it's your son, then your son will start giving those messages. So they kind of cooperate with us because they know that they know that we can't always figure.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to figure out who it will be unless they particularly liked birds or they liked, you know, certain things, or they told you before they died they're going to give you a feather. You know, some people now, it's wonderful because people are now telling what messages they may give in.
Yeah.
But your son really likes music, so if you listen to music,
He
tends to be around a lot.
He does, and I don't ever have music on.
Well, you better
start
playing some music because he's going to go where the music goes, okay?
Yeah.
And he's not even particular as to what kind. But, you know, if you get a little more accustomed to, like, turning on music, you'll find that the radio gives a lot of messages from the other side. Sometimes you'll just be in a certain mood and you'll hear a song that the lyrics or it just fits exactly what you're thinking about. So one of the best ways to get messages from the other side is when you're in a car. There's a vortex in the car, and when we're driving.
Right.
The radio, the music that will come on. Sometimes it'll be a license plate that'll appear with their initials on it or a bumper sticker that has meaning. So try to just be more aware. I mean, your son's a pretty fun guy. I can imagine whatever he's going to give is going to be fun. And he was also very handsome, he just said to me. Is that true? He just said, I was a good-looking guy. I got a laugh.
He
said, you know, I was good looking. I'm like, okay, all righty then. That's nice to know.
He's just saying that for my benefit so that know that it's him. He's really not. He's not arrogant or anything.
No,
but yes,
by the way he's saying it.
He's very handsome.
With a little bit of joke, and also because he doesn't have his body now. And sometimes, you know, with older souls, they have a lot of modesty. Older souls don't even know they're good looking. And then when they die, they go, you know, I was good looking. How come I didn't realize that or didn't think about it? Or like an older soul will never use their good looks to get away with things or to like use people. You know, a younger soul uses their looks to like manipulate the world. Okay. But like when they die, they think, well, maybe I should have used it a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, but his kindness is what comes across. He's very kind. He's very kind.
You know, I don't know if you can understand this, but I'm proud that he didn't kill somebody else.
Right.
That, you know, I would rather be the mother of the son who, you know, was killed versus the mother of the son who did the killing, if that makes any sense. His honor and his integrity, and I'm very proud of all of that, you know, and that was what was most important to him, was helping people. He was in school. He wanted to be a police officer. And and his sister, my daughter, became a lawyer. And I started taking them to homeless shelters to serve for Thanksgiving when they were little. I mean, I started that. You know, they were raised, you know, that everybody was equal. And, you know, my son saved so many people's lives, I can't even count them. He was a lifeguard in the worst part of Omaha where the kids didn't know how to swim.
Oh, my goodness.
Know, and my daughter was the manager of the life. They were both lifeguards, you know, and he was murdered in our home, and they took his cell phone and took off trying to keep him from getting help. And one of the first things I noticed right where in his room was his Red Cross, you know, lifeguard book with all these tabs and things. You know, no one even tried to help him. They wanted to make sure he died. And it is really horrible to deal with when, you know, I mean, honesty was the biggest thing in our lives, so.
Oh, yeah.
When there's lies, it's. But I know they'll answer to God. I mean, everybody answers to God. And
oh,
I'd rather be. Thank God I'm not in that position, you know. I don't want to be, you know. I'd like to see them. It'd be nice to be able to see them be held accountable. But God help them when they, you know, they can't get away with it. Because you're right. There is hell.
Right,
there
and again,
help.
Your son is just like, you know, you take comfort in knowing that your son lived a good life and that he did a lot of good in the short time he was here. So
I know, and he's just so short. It's just not so unfair. It's hard.
Of course it's so unfair. And with your son, he says, Mom, focus on the love that's on earth here too, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's your anchor.
That's what I'm trying to do.
That's
you
your
know.
Anchor. And remember, sometimes people want to join those who have died. That's a normal response for a mother. But your son said, the minute you're up here, you'll see me say, oh, you're okay. And then you want to be back on earth with the people on earth. So he goes, so don't even think about coming here until it's your time, okay? Just stay here as long as you can on earth because he'll be waiting. And again, he is a lot of times down on you know, he's really down on earth visiting you a lot. So just know that he's there and try to sense when he's there because then you'll feel like you get those little messages and those little things that really make you feel like your son is there for you. And that's all he's asking.
Right.
And
I will. I just, you know, I had a very a friend relationship that I had not even told them that I left. You know, it was things got really bad because I've been harassed since my son's death, and I had to just. They ended up taking everything I had, and
wow.
I just came out here with my dog and my suitcase, trying to put pieces together. So.
And it's good you came here. It's good you came to New York. It was time to leave Nebraska and be here.
Yeah, I had to. I just didn't want to be around it anymore.
Of course not. Of course not. Well, you'll do us a favor and call in again and have a very happy Thanksgiving. Your son will give you a message on Thanksgiving, and so will your mom. Your mom started crying when I said Thanksgiving. She would love to be here for that. She will visit in spirit, but just let her know you know she's there.
Yeah. My mom was my best friend. I'm an only child, so, you know, we were really close. And the doctor screwed up on her, so I ended up having to let her go because the pain she was in, and I didn't want to do it. The day before, I told the doctors I want to bring her home. I want her out of here. And they wanted her dead, you know?
Your mom was very close to her due date to die, so she's okay about it. You know, it seems like no matter what, it was her time to go. She would have wanted to be home, too, but she's okay with it. she said she's made peace with everything and not to worry about that. Like, she's okay about everything.
Right.
She's actually
right,
a very pleasant person. Was she very pleasant on Earth? Because she's very pleasant on the other side.
Oh, my gosh, yes. She
I mean, she's just very, she's very, like, happy and, like, she says
yeah.
that's water under the bridge and she doesn't focus on that anymore at all. And
right.
Nor
no,
should you.
She didn't complain. She never complained.
No, she wouldn't.
You know, she could, man, she had a temper, but, you know,
yeah,
she
well,
also was such a good person. She helped so many people.
Well,
you
she
know,
certainly
want to.
Mellowed out with her
I,
temper now. She certainly
yeah.
mellowed out.
Yeah. I don't want to disappoint my son or my parents. Oh, you know, I'm trying.
All right. Just and you won't disappoint them. Just love the people that are left on Earth who need you and know that they'll be there for when your time comes and, like, live a long life and try to find peace in any way that you can. And, you know, your son is very polite. He thanked me for talking to him. And and he just said thank you. And he gave you a big hug and he blew you a kiss. So, and he said, till
oh,
we meet again. And you know that he said, Mom, I'm okay. He's saying, tell her I'm okay. I'm okay, you know.
Yeah.
All right. And that's
yeah.
important to know.
Yeah, it is. It is. Thank
well, thank you
so much.
Thank you for sharing your story. Have a great holiday season. Bye.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, life isn't easy, is it, Nicole?
Oh, my goodness, I know.
I know. The older
that's
I get,
terrible.
the more days I have where I have the feeling that life is very, very difficult. You know,
Definitely.
And there's always something. It seems this children being murdered, and you know sometimes there's so many unsolved cases now that it's unbelievable, and
mm-hmm.
or just that people just got away with stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
Just seems like, you know. Remember we said karmic justice will get them. We just wish on Earth
sometimes
they would get their, you know, what they deserve.
One of the things that I truly, you know, liked about Sharon's call, you know, as heartbreaking as some of it was, is that, you know, she hasn't allowed her heartache to, you know, to make her jaded. You know, you hear the pain, but you don't hear anger, and she's trusting that God is going to take care of everything. You know, she's trusting that, you know, that justice will eventually be done, whether it's on this earth or not, you know. So that's one of the things that, you know, for me is I think that it's incredible because, you know, I guess for certain people it's easy to just let the anger take over. You know, and Sharon hasn't done that, and you know, she has a reason to, but she hasn't done that. So I think that her faith is really, really wonderful.
Yeah, and that's what we try, you know, and that's, I think, mostly what having a psychic reading can do is give people a sense of peace and a sense of that they will see these people again. And
yes, absolutely.
That's the most important thing. But again, it doesn't stop me from sometimes just thinking about God. Life can be difficult. Life can be so hard.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like there are days when it just is a little bit overwhelming to think about it. And
mm-hmm.
You know, all I can tell you is that from the people on the other side, what they've told me. It all comes out in the wash. So, like, when they go to the other side,
yep.
you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know, again, you know, when you wonder how some people seem to get away with everything and never get punished,
mm-hmm.
they have all the money in the world, everything, you know, how is that? I go, you know, you're going to pay for it later on. So, that's
for
sure.
Oh, absolutely.
So we have Terry now. Didn't she called in last week and she had the surgery? And remember, she asked us about the second job then too. And
No, actually, she's changed her question a little bit. All right.
Okay.
So last week, you know, I mean, she's been having issues at her main job, okay? And, you know, she's, you know, they're more interested in the rules than the person type of situation. So last week she was calling in saying that she was about to have a surgery, and she wanted to know if she should just take some time and, you know, I guess just take her time and recuperate, because obviously her doctors would like her to recuperate a little bit, you know, or if she should just plunge right into getting another job. But now she's already had the surgery. She's doing well after the surgery.
Oh, so clearly,
she was not supposed to have, clearly she was not supposed to have her reading last week when she kept getting disconnected. So now the question is whether or not she should be getting a second job. Should she get something that is just there to supplement her income so that if she does need to take that leap, you know, that she's going to be financially prepared to do it. So here we go to Terry. Hello, Terry. You are on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
Hi, Terry. We're so glad that, you know, you weren't supposed to talk last week. You were supposed to know, ah, the surgery's good. She's good. Okay. That's,
yes, ma'am.
That's happy news today. And I can see that. I don't see you're going to be forever at the job that's toxic, okay? It's not
okay.
If you don't get out of there on your own 2 feet in, like, the next 6 months to a year, God will get you out, which means maybe you'll end up getting laid off or something. And I would rather you went out of this job on your own 2 feet. And it's not going to get any better. Have you figured out it's not getting any better?
I am so ready to go, yes.
Okay, good.
I'm so ready to go.
Okay, so are you, I know you wanted to get a second part-time job, but that will take the energy from you being able to do resumes and focus on getting a full-time job, which seems to me like that should be where you're focusing, getting something full-time at this point.
Yes.
And have you tried that at all?
Well, actually, I'm still in school right now for an administrative assistant. I'm taking administrative assistant classes. So we are in the process of setting up resumes, and I wanted to do it while I'm in school with the teacher. But, yes, I'm so ready to start. Look, I so need a new job now.
Okay, so we're going to focus on so getting a good full-time job here, please, with your new skills, because this job that you're in now is way too stressful. And
it is.
And, you know, you're an older soul. So older souls are empaths. They can't ignore bad energy, okay? Like,
yes.
Some people can just go to bad energy job and they don't care. It doesn't bother them. But for you, it's going to bother you. And what I got in the cards is it looks like a very good job coming. So, you know, when you're at your current job, you're only going to be there a short while now. So just take your money and run, okay? Do your job
okay.
to the best of your ability. Yes, everybody to death. Yeah, 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 sure. Tell them what they want to hear, blah, blah, blah. The wonderful thing we always say on this show is when you leave a job, it's like it died. You never see it again. It's over, okay?
Okay.
So you're never going to see these people. You don't have to deal with them. So, you know, part of our karmic lesson on Earth is sometimes to learn to take our money and run. When we're surrounded by a lot of unfixables, and believe me, you got them at your job, manipulative, judgmental, not accountable people.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not changing those people. And what part of your lesson to learn is that 3 out of 10 people are totally unfixable on this planet. If you're over the age of 25, they ain't changing for the better, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a chance, like a 10% chance they could change for the better, but they'd have to earn a miracle. And I'm not a miracle worker. You're not a miracle worker, okay? Even Jesus wasn't that kind of miracle worker. If they had leprosy, he could fix it. If they knew not what they did, Jesus didn't have a clue how to fix those people. And he did say 3 times, they're going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. So you're fixing those people. What's also at your job is 4 out of 10 of the Dr. Jekyll's, Mr. Hyde's there. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not so good. Those people, you know, you can't trust because they're going to be bullied and bribed and blackmailed and bullshitted to join the bad side eventually. So don't even, you know, waste your time. And there are some good people everywhere, but some of the good people can't see what you're talking about. They don't even see how much these people manipulate. So
figure out that you were there to learn about the world and that you're not fixing people. And
oh,
so now
yes.
Take your money and run. Yes them to death. It's really fun when you know you're going to be leaving. Because, you know, you hear, okay,
yes.
Whatever they say, you just, like, okay, yeah, yeah, sure. Okay. And focus your energy, not because when you're really depressed about a job, it becomes depression and you can't even get out of bed,
mm-hmm.
let alone go to work, let alone putting out resumes. What I'm trying
mm-hmm.
to tell you is, no depression here. Depression is a feeling of hopelessness and anger turned inward. You're angry at yourself for staying there or not getting another job. You're depressed about what? There's no depression here because you're going to get another job. So
okay.
Put a different attitude toward it. Focus on getting another job and put out to God that you learned the lessons about people that won't be fixed in this lifetime. I don't need to be near them. Please give me a job where most people are halfway decent or great to me because
yes.
I want that. So put it out there, and that's what you'll get. And you don't have to sell yourself for money. That's prostitution. We don't have to stay at a job we hate, okay? God would never ask you to sell your soul for money. So it's good you went to school. You've got new skills. Also, people at your job are a little jealous of you. That's what I'm seeing in these cards.
What?
Because you have other skills, and you're learning other stuff, and you will get the hell out of there. You know, they're stuck, and you're not. So what I see for you in 2020 is a new job. Work on your resume, work on your job skills. Do you want to be in the industry that you're more going to school for now? Do you want to do that job now rather than what you're doing?
Yeah, I'm in the finance field, so I wouldn't mind going into finance into a corporate position, even if it's admin, something where I can hopefully grow in the company.
Perfect. You already know what you want. And there's a shortage of good workers right now, so of quality workers. So you couldn't be looking for a job at a better time. So maybe when you took this job, the job market wasn't as good as it is now. So, just get yourself out there. And, you know, you don't have to be sick to leave a job. So we don't want to have any more surgeries, okay? Like,
yes.
Okay? Okay, don't fall down the stairs and break a toe or anything, okay, so you can not go to work. We don't need to do that. And this has given you some time to think about where you want to be in your life.
Exactly, because I have a few things to do. So I've got to be out of commission for a few weeks. I mean, the doctor told me anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. I wanted to go back sooner, but I'm just going to have to take his advice.
And why don't you put out some resumes and focus on getting your resume perfect and everything ready for your job. And look at, Google different companies that you might want to work for, because finding a job can be, take a lot of time. But don't just look at where the jobs are listed, say, on Indeed, because those are a slush pile and you don't always get a response. You can, but
mm-hmm.
don't just focus on that. Look if there's a company in finance that you might want to work. Like, look up growth companies in your area and things, and see if you. Oftentimes on the job on the website are job listings or human resources where you could send your resume. So be a little proactive about finding a job in a place where you want to work.
All right. So okay. So I guess now is the time. Okay.
Now is the time. Don't put it off because you just don't want to work there anymore.
No, I don't.
There's nothing worse than going to a job you hate, by the way.
Exactly.
There's nothing worse. And we're not of a generation like, my parents' generation, they had depression mentality in many ways, and whatever job they got, they stuck with their whole life because they were so grateful they had a job even if they hated it. Like, we're not of that thinking. There's no shortage of work or money on this planet. So start, looking for another job. And, it was starting to take toll on you. Do you realize that?
Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. It is starting to.
And, of course, you went back to school. That's great. And you can also look like the job that's coming, you'll make more money than you make now. And, to conclude your reading, the narcissists, the unfixables, always think they screw us over because they make us leave a job. Nope. If they had been even halfway decent, we're older souls like the devil, they know. We would have stayed and not been totally happy. We've been pretty miserable, but we would have stayed. They get so bad that they force us out, and then we get a better job with more money and nicer people. So they force us to move on and move forward. So,
yes.
You know, we bless them in the long run because they're the ones that make us learn our lessons and what we need to learn in coming back to Earth. And you just have a very good 2020 year opening up. So move forward and let us know, like, you know, how you're progressing and if you're, and really do your studying and looking for a new job. Just keep, you know, really, and it doesn't seem to me a coincidence that you have to take this time off. It seems like God must know there's a job perfect for you.
I agree, yes. I agree because this surgery was scheduled 2 months ago, and I put it off, and then something happened with the insurance company. And then this is the day that I picked up. I said, you know what, let me go for November 20th. So I think that this is what the universe, they were pushing toward this time.
Exactly. So it must be that they knew a job was going to open up right now.
Ah, yes.
So we have to trust in divine timing, especially when things like insurance companies make things get screwed up or different things like that. Sometimes we're so frustrated about it, but sometimes it turns out to be the best thing that could happen. So
yes.
You know, the universe works with incompetency, too, to make us get, you know, people make mistakes, but it ends up they have stalled us a certain amount of time or whatever. So, again, you know, God uses whatever vehicle he can to get us at the right place at the right time. And trust that you're in divine timing at this point. And, you know, and again, if you don't leave that job on your own volition soon, somehow you'll God will get you out of there. You know,
believe me, I am leaving on my own volition. I'm going to start looking now. I am starting to look now.
Great.
I'm going
and,
to buy
and,
an interview
and
suit.
You look at it as a great adventure. And don't be afraid to, like, look for what you want to do because, you know, and what's perfect for you. Don't settle, you know what I mean? Look at it as an adventure in getting the life that you really want.
Yes, exactly, yes.
Well, you'll let us know when all this, like, comes to fruition. And, you know, please, you know, keep us informed and call in again.
I most certainly will.
And I'm so glad you're, like, I'm not glad that you're, like, you know, had your surgery, but I'm glad that you're able to call in, you know, have some time for you.
Exactly. I mean, I have use of one arm, but, but yeah, I'm making
well,
do with it.
Well, you sound fantastic.
Yeah.
She sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, for somebody that's got to say, you sound very up, and you're all good.
Yes, I am, but I'm in a lot of pain.
Aww.
Well,
but you don't
you
sound like it,
could,
so attitude
and
is half the battle.
Yeah, our job is to distract you a little bit from that pain, you know?
Yeah.
Well, good luck to you and call in again.
Okay, thank you, and I'll talk to you guys soon, okay? Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
All right.
And dang, happy Thanksgiving to you too.
Thank you.
Wow.
So I'll talk to you guys hopefully before the new year or after the new year with some good news. Hopefully. I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you guys.
Awesome, Karen.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Aw, she's so sweet. Is she not?
Sweet.
I'm so happy that she got on this week.
Oh, I know. Probably with her bad arm, she was probably hitting wrong buttons last week.
I know. No, well, last week she didn't have a surgery.
But I think, I don't know if she was in pain. Who knows, even then, before her surgery. Who knows? She might have been in pain before. Well, we have Pat now. Is it?
Yes,
our
this
Pat.
Is not our usual Pat. This is a different Pat. All right.
But
this
is another Pat
that
I know, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Pat actually had a reading with you a couple of months ago. She said you were fantastic, FYI. But, you know, you're aware that she does have some family problems. There's a little bit of issues with the family dynamic there. And she recently, you know, got an invite to her brother's for Thanksgiving. And she really just wants to know, given the family problems and everything else, I mean, is this an olive branch? Should she be going to this Thanksgiving? or, you know, something that maybe she shouldn't do. So she just wants to see what your whole vibe on the situation is. But I'm going to let Pat tell you more about that. So here we go with Pat in New York. Hello, Pat.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi, Pat. You usually work this hour. How'd you manage to be able to call in when you choose?
Only because he's not here. I'm doing a lot more.
Okay. Yes, there is a God. There
yes,
is a God.
That's right. Well, you know, I still have my multi problems here. I related to what you were saying. It's a lot to the other caller. But the reason for my phone call is my brother isn't feeling too good right now. He's haven't had some tests done on his kidney. And it's like I was invited over there for Thanksgiving. You know the situation. Him and my sister especially haven't been too kind to me in the past. Should I accept that invitation? Should I go? Or should I just keep in touch via phone as I've been doing? I don't know.
Well, your mom is like here saying she would love for you to go. She thinks if anything happens to your brother and you don't go, you're going to feel terrible that you didn't have that, you know, Thanksgiving with him, because his health looks really pretty bad here. You know, that he has some pretty big health issues. And
sure.
Is your sister going to be there?
No.
Good. So, because I knew your mom wouldn't have said for you to go if your sister was going to be there.
Right. Well, actually, I got a phone call from her the other day, and I called her about the doctor's visit just to let her know how the doctor visit went. And she actually called me back, and I couldn't get to the phone because she called me while I was here. And she called me again, which was an oddity. Maybe she's extending an olive branch. I don't know. But she's saying to me, did you find the lawyer or the doctor? I said, what lawyer? I'm not suing anybody. So she said to me, well, you and mom always said that you have to marry a lawyer or a doctor. I said, that's not true. I don't know. Maybe, you know what her sickness is and where it went, unfortunately, to the brain. Maybe it's affecting her cognition. But I was, A, very surprised to get a phone call from her, B, to say something like that, which I vehemently deny. So.
Well, I think your mother said she's not in her right mind, okay? So go see your brother and, try to make it as pleasant as you can have it.
Right.
But he seems to be, when you have a health scare, like right now he's got a wake-up call. Like he feels like he could be sick, maybe he won't be here forever. So you catch him at a moment of weakness when he's probably going to be nice.
Yeah.
I'm not, if he finds out he's all fine or he's going to be fine for a while, he'll go back to his nonsense. But it looks like right now he really wants you to go there. It's not just I'm sending you an invitation, but I don't really want you to come. He does want you to come. You know, you talked to him not too long ago, right? Or you saw him, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I did go. Yeah, I had a nice time.
Right, and that's what your mom said. You'll have a nice time, and he really does want you to go. As otherwise, what were you going to do for Thanksgiving otherwise?
Oh, go with friends. I have another invitation. But the other aspect with this with him was, before this came through that he had to do a test on his kidney, he's talking about moving out of state. And at one point, before saying that, he wanted me to move out there, which is in Jersey, with them, chip in and buy a house together so that we could live together. I mean, first you throw me out of my house that we grew up in. Now you want me to go and live with you? And then after that, he's ending up wanting to go move to a different state for finances. So it's like it's all screwed up. So
don't let him, he may be trying to convince you how nice they are to come live with them, but you don't buy that bullshit. Enjoy the Thanksgiving, but you're not living with him.
That's what I thought.
And they're kind of be super sweet nice because they're trying to like manipulate you at some level to think it'll be wonderful if you live with them. So let them put on the show for Thanksgiving. Enjoy it, but don't even think about living with him.
That's what I thought. Well, he came through his knee surgery fine and he's walking around and everything. Seems like he's got a lot of anger in him besides having physical problems. An emotional therapist. And, I wonder if he's ever sorry, including my sister, what they did to me.
Well, we talk about this on the show all the time. They all both have traits of unfixables. They're manipulative,
yes,
judgmental, not accountable. Those people never have remorse or regret.
Hmm.
It's not in their DNA. They like he may momentarily have it when they think they're dying or they're sick or they have a wake up call, they're in jail. Then they're sorry for about a minute. Okay.
How
and
do
then,
you get
like,
involved with this mess and this family?
Right.
And I don't fit in.
Well, remember we talk about 7 out of 10 people aren't great. So, like, if we have a family of 6, that's not good odds that we're going to be surrounded by a lot of good people. Okay. You know, it's just statistically, it's not. Some people are blessed and they don't have it in their family, but they probably in their past life already lived through this and they already learned most people, you know, a lot of people aren't good and you're not going to fix them. So maybe they didn't have to learn that in this lifetime. Or they may be younger souls that they don't have to learn that lesson yet. Older souls have hard lessons to learn. And,
you know, that's me, I guess, right?
Right. And your mom's just saying, and you know, go there, enjoy the day. And, you know, if you would rather go with your friends, then you do what you want. I mean, would you rather go with your friends?
No, I'd rather go with him, actually.
Okay. And I'm also saying he's not well. So you would, you know, you never know when somebody's kidneys are going. They, you know, sometimes they get better, sometimes they don't. And you would feel terrible if something happened to him and you didn't spend your last Thanksgiving with him or whatever. I'm not saying he's dying here, but your mom's just saying, you know, he doesn't really do what he's supposed to do health-wise, so that isn't helping any. So go and enjoy the day is what she said. And
okay,
you know,
thank you
and
so
if they
much.
Ask you to, and if they ask you to, like, live with them, go,
hold
well,
on.
Let me think about
hold
it.
On.
Just don't say no that day. Let me think about it, okay? You know
right.
You're not going to, but who wants to bring – like, give them the illusion you're thinking about it, okay?
Okay.
You know,
thank
and
you so much.
Your mom wants you to be happy, and I'm so glad you got to call in today. I know you're always working on Thursday, so.
I got to get another phone call. I got to go. But
okay,
thank
bye.
You for taking it. Bye-bye.
Bye. Because she imagines she's doing her job and she calls in. Isn't that funny? So
that's, she's so cute.
She's so cute. And again,
yes.
It's hard sometimes to, you know, realize that with family members, you're not going to fix them or change them. You know, for a lot
no.
of people, the holidays are very stressful. And we have a few minutes left. We might want to talk about that. It's not always easy, but if you determine one of your family members is an unfixable, stop wasting your breath. Just yes them to
yep.
death. Yeah, sure. Whatever they say, go, okay, fine. You're not going to change them. You're not going to fix them. You know, don't make a big scene in a fight with somebody that you can't even affect. Like, stop.
Yeah.
You know,
perfect.
Agree to disagree or, you know, talk about other topics, you know. And I know with this whole political climate, people are saying they're –
oh,
family
God.
Members are,
so
like, at odds. Like, don't talk about that stuff on Thanksgiving. Don't talk about it, you know. Switch the topic. Find something else to talk about. But for a lot of people, the holidays are very, very hard. Very, very hard. Because there is a lot of family dysfunction that ends up
mm-hmm.
taking place. You know, but, you know, just, you wonder sometimes. And I told that with my own brothers, you know, they... We're pretty estranged for like 45 years or something. And, you know, when he died, my other brother's like a little unglued about that. I mean, hadn't really talked
mm-hmm.
to him much, but, you know, they were attached at the hips as kids. You know, don't let all your religious or political differences or whatever it is separate you from people that, you know, you still love. You might not always like them
yeah,
fully, but you still love them. Make the holidays kind of feel blessed or happy and, it's, you don't have to win every argument, nor do you have to engage in every argument.
You know what? But one of the things that has been lost, you know, because today's political climate is so polarizing, one of the things that people have lost is just the ability to just agree to disagree.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Like you don't. Everybody does not, never has, always had the same views. This should not be any different. Okay, you have certain political views. Fine, great, good luck to you. You know, I could have different views, and fine, great, good luck to me. But you know what? People are allowing this, you know, they're allowing racial tension, they're allowing political tension to literally drive a wedge between, you know, between people, between groups, between, you know, friends. You know, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. You know, so it's okay to have differing views. It's okay to not like everybody 100% of the time, but if you love somebody, then don't miss out on an opportunity to let them know that, hey, listen, I know we don't agree right now, but I still love you. Because the day is going to come where you're not going to be able to take those moments back, and it's going to be too late. And telling somebody that you love them after they died is not exactly the best way to get the point across when you could have enjoyed them now in life.
Right, exactly. And that's why let's just, like, be thankful on Thanksgiving and try to make it peaceful. Don't have a scene because it just
Absolutely.
Puts a lot of strain on everybody. And, you know, it's people sometimes
stupid.
Dread these family events.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really kind of stupid. You know, when you think about it, and you know what, when you think about it in 10 years or whatever, you know, the fact that you didn't go and see your family because, you know, of Donald Trump or because, you know, somebody said something that you didn't like, that you didn't agree with, is it really that important if you still love the person? It's really not, because Donald Trump is going to go and he's going to have his Thanksgiving with his family, regardless of whether or not you're fighting with yours.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, on that note, we're going to end our show with a happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And I'm very thankful for Nicole, who does this show for, oh, I think we're going near onto our 11th year coming up. And thank you so for because we started in 2008. So,
yeah.
This is going to be our 11th
time,
year.
Cindy. It's been a very long time.
So I want to thank her for her, like, service, and she got rewarded with a soulmate for her service above and beyond the call of duty. And, you know, I always put Nicole on my what I'm thankful for list. So I hope you have a wonderful and blessed Thanksgiving.
And I hope you do the same, Cindy. And I'm very, very grateful to you as well, because, you know, the opportunity to do this show is amazing, because most people can't go back and document, you know, their growth. They can't go back and take a look at, you know, their mistakes, and they can't take, you know, they don't have those things. And for every week for the last, you know, almost 11 years, I can see my growth, and you are a very, very large part of why I've grown so much. And you know, you kind of helped me shape the woman that I am now, you know, because I could have gone down a very, very different road. And had it not been for you, I probably would have stayed on that road. But thanks to you, you know, I have been able to, you know, to just grow and mature and be who I am. So thank you, Cindy.
Oh, and it's been my pleasure to know you and to continue to know you, and our Thursday night date.
Absolutely, our standing Thursday night date.
And it also interesting because we both have busy lives, and we wanted to keep each other in our lives, and this has been a way to do it. You know what I mean? That I'm grateful for. So grateful for
that. Yeah, because life cannot get in the way when we have our standing Thursday night date.
Nope. And you know, thank all of our listeners that we have, like, such loyal followers.
Absolutely, yeah, because without you guys, we have no show. So I'm grateful to our listeners, too.
And you would just hear Nicole and I chit-chatting it for an hour. Well, good night, everybody, and we'll speak 2 weeks from now, December 5th. We will meet again, and I can't wait.
Right.
Bye, everybody.
And happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Bye.